Welcome back. You're watching Stockwatch with me, Bright Khumalo. Tackling your questions on the line this evening are Chantal Marks from FNB Wealth and Investments and Rikus Readers from PSG Sandton. Send those questions via SMS to 41392, email stockwatch@bdtv.co.za or tweet us at BusinessDayTV using the hashtag Stockwatch. Let's get into it. Chantal, Rikus, welcome to the show. We don't have any clips today. It's Thanksgiving. So I'll start with you, Chantal. Can you tell us how was that market close locally?
Well, the market actually closed flat. It was 0.01% lower on the day. And it was so almost the exact reverse of what we saw last week. So, or yesterday, actually. So financials and the local stocks did a little bit better. Okay. And then the resources shares and the big heavyweights moved back a little bit. So it kind of looked like a mirror image, I think, of what we saw yesterday.
Yeah, and most of that was driven by the fact that we saw the Rand basically weakening all the way to 15.94. Rikus, we saw that he strengthened again, like Chantal is saying, and obviously favoring SA Inc. and banking stocks. But what caught your attention today, should I say?
Well, I think as Chantal said, the financial counters rebounded from yesterday when they were quite down, and obviously also Mr. Price's results help to boost your general retailers a little bit, which were also under pressure yesterday. But yeah, very much a nothing market with the US closed, and you could see it in the European markets as well. Very little movement there as well.
Yes. Okay. Because we don't have much going on the US front, let's start with our questions. This one's from our SMS line. Says, "What happens to AVI if the Mondelez buyout fails, Chantal?"
Well, I mean, the Mondelez buyout isn't nearly as big as we thought it was going to be, right? And I think what the market was initially thinking was that at least Snackworks and Entice was going to be purchased, perhaps even I&J. Perhaps the whole thing was going to be taken out and the fashion business kind of spun out at some point or sold to someone else. But it ended up being just an offer for Snackworks, which is about a third of AVI. The share price reaction was quite negative already, because it's only a third of AVI and not the whole thing. My thinking is if the whole thing is going to go away, you might see the entire kind of uplift that we saw initially when the deal was announced disappear, or just kind of stabilize at current levels. The market really actually didn't like the announcement at all.
Yeah, Rikus, this one comes from what you were speaking about now from Mami Money ZA on Twitter, or Mommy Investing, or whatever you want to call it. She's asking, is SPAR a good buy at these levels? So after seeing the numbers and obviously pulling the retailers up.
Obviously they are getting hit by both what's happening in Poland as well as I think online sales taking away some market share. Now, they have announced that they are going to pilot a online service, but that means they're playing catch up. So, as I said, Poland is a drag on earnings going forward. I think their investment in technology is going to be a drag on earnings going forward. So, pre-pandemic, I liked the model. Post-pandemic, not so much. So, and neither does the market. So, I don't think there's anything wrong with it long term. Their management of their overseas acquisitions has been excellent. Even Switzerland is getting right, but it's going to take some time. So in the near term, not that excited about it, and I prefer the likes of ShopRite even at these prices.
Yes, we have another question from Lulama on Twitter. She's asking about where to hear from Nike, considering that people like Scott Galloway are speculating that Nike could potentially acquire a fitness company. We've seen a company like Under Armour do that, but it wasn't so successful when they acquired their own health app to compete with Strava. So do you see Nike, say, acquiring a company like Peloton, for example? I mean, it has come off its highs and it's ripe for a takeover.
Yeah, I think if they do it, it will be a mistake. I honestly don't think that they should diversify into that space because fitness trends tend to be quite fickle. So during the pandemic, you saw Peloton doing exceptionally well. Everyone was cycling at home. And now everyone's back at SoulCycle and Peloton's actually starting to look for new avenues of revenue at the moment. At some point, you could see the entire Peloton fad disappear completely, and everyone will move on to the next thing, right? Yes. I mean, I'm sure everyone thought that step classes were going to be a thing forever in the 90s, but no one really does step classes anymore, as far as I know. We're certainly not seeing these videos from Bridget Fonda coming out anymore. So in my view, I don't think that Nike should pursue that strategy. I think they should focus on what they're really good at, and they should continue to move into the direction of focusing on sports specifics and also gaining penetration in sports where they're underrepresented. And I'm thinking specifically about female sport, which is still an issue or an area where they can really expand into.
Yeah, that's a fantastic answer. Russell is asking about the investment prospects. Sorry, for Vivo Energy, he said he saw that they spiked about 20% today off of the back of a buyout offer. So, do you look at Vivo Energy, Rikus? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm running out of small caps to buy because first of all, Alaris is disappearing and now Vivo is disappearing. It's a company I really, really liked. Chantal had some words to say on that on Twitter, so she can expand on that. But
yes,
certainly it's a healthy profit today, but it's to me, I mean, I really like the company and their business model and what they were doing. And I'll be sorry to see them go. And I think even at the offer price, it's still cheap considering future prospects.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you're looking at the offer price, it's 16.5 times forward PE, which is a lot more than the 10 times average that it's traded on. And 16.5 is probably kind of fair-ish. But I think that it's off estimates that are probably too low. And if you consider the growth prospects, I mean, this company can very comfortably grow its earnings by 20% for the next 5, 10, 15 years per annum. Then 16.5 times forward doesn't look that compelling. So I'd say fair at best, but it's pretty disappointing. I think that shareholders might actually take this deal, just given that the previous deal was really poor, and this one looks a lot better, and aesthetically it looks okay. But I think if you really start thinking about it, it's another not great offer for another potentially really great company.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Vivo had like a unique offering. It was very unique in, you know, in the JSE. It'll be very sad to see them go, to be quite honest. We've got another question here on email from Koketso, who's asking about PayPal. Apparently PayPal has come down a lot in recent times. Are they a buy at these levels? Rikus?
I don't really have too much of an opinion on that. I'm sorry, Bryant. Chantal, can you help out on this?
Chantal?
Yeah, I mean, so in terms of the payment platforms, PayPal's definitely one to watch. But I mean, it's a direct competitor for a company like Visa as well, and for some of the other incumbents within that payment space. But I do think that PayPal does have a first mover advantage almost when it comes to online transactions. So it does have a really solid kind of revenue base that it can continue to grow off of. They'll also benefit, I think, from a continued growth in or recovery in economic activity globally. And certainly it looks a lot cheaper than it used to look. It's still not something that I have in my portfolio. I think there are still a lot of weird stuff going on around there. The fact that they want to maybe buy Pinterest, probably the weirdest. but yeah, it's one to watch and perhaps one to keep on the watch list for even further price weakness.
No, awesome. Something also quite unique here, Rikus, is Sebvest. Mm. Obviously, there's been a lot of corporate action around that business. It's been coming up on the people's radars a lot. So this one is from Danny. Says Sevest Capital. They came out with good results again. Great company, undervalued but not very liquid. What says the esteemed panel?
Well, first of all, apologies for darkness, my old friend. We seem to have an Eskom blip on this side. But I've got Sevest in my personal portfolio. It's not the greatest tradable share, so maybe not so much an institution. But certainly a great range of investments, well managed, well decided. And in that sense, it's a longer term hold as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, so you're thinking a longer hold for Sevest. And you, Chantel, do you look at Sevest?
Yeah, I actually don't look at it very often, but I do look at it every time they release results. And I have a little spreadsheet, and I update my little spreadsheet, and it's still trading at quite a substantial discount to its net asset value. And we've seen a lot of the investment holding companies go through a period where they're doing a lot of corporate actions. They're kind of cleaning up the portfolio, and you're seeing those discounts narrow, even in companies that aren't doing the same. But in Sevest, you actually haven't seen that happen yet. And arguably, Sevest should trade at a very narrow discount to NAV, or even perhaps at par or at a premium, because most of its holdings are unlisted and you can't get direct access to them. It's only Metrofile and Transaction Capital from a South African perspective that's listed, that's in that portfolio. You probably get access to that at a 35% odd discount.
Okay, so Sevest will always remain an interesting one. Francois here is asking, I struggle to understand the price movement of Sibanye-Stillwater. Can the panel provide some insight into the volatility of the stock, if it's worthwhile as a hold for the long term? So this is not even asking to buy, it's like I already have them, they're too volatile, but what does it mean for a long-term investor like himself? Rikus?
Right. Resource counters are never long-term holds. They are trading vehicles, as we can see with what's happened with Sibanye specifically, and every single almost one commodity, in Sibanye's case, two commodities, moving on to three commodity type of stock, is going to be bought up and sold down. So I think longer term, their strategy, their narrative is great. In other words, moving into battery technology is a good diversification strategy. But at the moment, precious metals in the form of, you know, the platinum group metals and gold is under pressure. Sentiment is negative, and it's going to go down until such time as there are more buyers than sellers. I mean, it sounds very simple to say that, but that is what it is. At the moment, sentiment is negative. So it's a great long-term story, but currently the price is in a downtrend and I'm not interested in it.
One of the questions I have in front of me is Petrus Motsepe's ARC, which is, you know, is said to be acquiring is acquiring 100% of Crossfin for 1.5 billion rands. So do you follow ARC at all, Rikus?
I do, price-wise. I mean, I think there's still the debate around management fees that hangs around the company itself, but interesting
big
investments.
Time, yes.
It's one of, you know, even considering the underlying, the price has basically been moving sideways. So it's something that I'm interested in. I would love to have a resolve as far as those fees are concerned. But as far as the investment strategy, the underlying investments are concerned, want to keep a close watch or look out for.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of corporate events there, because they've got a very nice suite of assets there. Chantel, your comments on this deal, Crossfin, you know anything about them, who they are, what they do?
Yeah, I had a quick look, and it's basically just an extension of what ARC is trying to do within the fintech space. So They're trying to get a foothold in terms of payments and fintech generally. And it seems with this one specifically, they've partnered with EPE, which has almost become a swear word since they've gotten involved with Bright. But they've gotten involved with EPE, who actually have a very close relationship with Ethos Private Equity, Ethos being one of the most successful private equity managers in the history of this country. So I would think that also gives it a bit of an endorsement. And because they're kind of sticking to their strategy, buying stuff that fits into their existing portfolio, it makes sense to me. In terms of the valuation of African Rainbow Capital, I think it still looks cheap. You've seen the discount narrow a little bit, and the share price appreciate a little bit over the last kind of month or so, thank goodness, because I was thinking I was going insane. As Rekha said, as long as the management fee story still hangs over it, I think there'll be question marks around this company, and they'll struggle to find big investors unless it's resolved at some point.
I hope management is listening. Get rid of the payment structure, that compensation structure, run it as an operational company or just a holding company with no underlying fees, and then you'll see your share price actually re-rate to what it rightfully deserves. But anyways, enough about my rant. This viewer is asking about Lewis, saying it's an absolute gem and they came out with a solid set of numbers. What do you think, or what does the panel think about Lewis? Coming to you, Rickus.
It's always been undervalued, well, certainly over the past 2 or 3 years, really, considering its cash flows, its income, return on capital, the whole lot. It persists on trading at very low valuations. Not quite sure why, it was a very good set of results. The price has reacted, and I think, even at currently at 48 Rand, it's probably still cheap. And just technically, I think my next target is around about 55 or 56 Rand. So a great set of results considering the circumstances. And certainly management looking forward don't seem to be at all pessimistic as to the next 6 months.
Yeah. And Chantal, do you follow Lewis with any interest?
Yeah. Yes. Lewis is one of those stocks that still pay really, really healthy dividends, and they never stopped. And I think that's one of the exciting kind of angles around the stock as well. So not only do you have them still showing very, very decent growth against an increasingly challenging macro backdrop. This last set of results was off of that. It just came off of that pent-up demand boom that they kind of had. And they were able to maintain momentum, which is really, really great. And they've bedded down that UFO acquisition that they did a couple of years ago quite well. That's given them an additional growth lever. It's just all the right things, and then a big fat dividend. So, a really great stock to own, and I think one that's not really closely followed by institutional investors. So perhaps that's a really nice in for the retail space.
Okay, we have another question here, which is around the holding company of Metscheme, which is Afrocentric. So what's... yes, Chantel?
No, Afrocentric is a company that I always plan to look at because I really like the story. I really like the narrative, but I never quite get a handle on it. It's been very well run. Some really cool stuff in terms of their pharmacy or their kind of their online or distribution only pharmacy that they have.
Yes.
Metscheme being the third largest or the second largest medical scheme administrator in South Africa third after Discovery and Momentum, I think, and growing. I think it's just a really great story. Annuity income streams, really exciting growth in pharmacy. But yeah, unfortunately, I don't have a handle on the valuation.
Rikus, how does it look at these levels?
I like them a lot. On a side note, one is retired, one of the others is still a director, but I used to be in grade 5 with them many, many, many years ago. I mean, we've lost touch, but I can remember them, and they were very bright even then.
Yes.
But apart from that, like the valuation, I like what the price is doing, a nice little move today. It's my own personal share portfolio, and I think it's, again, one of those overlooked small mid-caps that that with the annuity type of income, I mean, it ticks all the boxes for me.
Yes. Danny is asking about Thungela Resources, is asking if there's any opportunity for coal exporting, considering the fact that the Northern Hemisphere is having their winter. So this could be an opportunity for these guys to actually, you know, pump some supply that side.
Yeah, I mean, the Thungela Resources price is also, I think it still looks quite decent. So probably a good time to start looking at it again. It came off of $100 a couple of months ago after listing at R21.90.
Wow.
So definitely some potential there. And I think that the viewer is thinking in the right direction. The initial spike actually came from the Northern Hemisphere winter natural gas shortage, or the natural gas shortage around Northern Hemisphere winter, which is still ongoing, right? And then it started coming off because of kind of forced sales from China and a few other considerations, and the fact that South Africa is actually struggling to export coal. And I think that that's where the caveat's going to be. I think South Africa, if we can get coal to the ports,
yes.
If we can get Thungela's coal to the ports and Exxaro's coal to the ports, they'll do very well. But if there's going to be continued issues from a Transnet perspective and from a ports perspective, it could prove disappointing, unfortunately.
Yeah, I've been driving from Joburg to Durban and back, and the road, I can tell you, is full of trucks, you know, trying to rush things up and down. So we found ourselves there. But anyways, I digress. Rikus, do you look at Thungela, or should we talk about capital appreciation?
No, let's together. It's precisely what Chantal says. I mean, it's a product that's needed. We can't get it to the port. We can't get it on ships. Obviously, they're mining this stuff, so there's a stockpile that at least that cost has been sunk. But it really depends on whether you can sell what you mine, and that's dependent on Imprasa, and that's our story. So I'm in two minds. If there's good news coming from the rail side, I'd really like to buy it as a trading stock, being a resource stock.
Yes.
But at the moment, it's just too dependent on export.
Okay.
The ability to export.
Yeah, it's quite interesting. It's a quite interesting business, that one. This one, like I said, it's capital appreciation. Do you look at capital appreciation, Chantal?
Oh, no. And I get asked about it a lot. I really should. But sorry, I don't actually have an opinion. Because do you have one?
Yes. Also, my personal share portfolio. I think it's a great company. I mean, financial service, obviously, specific PayPoint devices, if you want to call it that, to put it very, very broadly. But continuity income, well managed, great balance sheet. I mean, great earnings, earnings and cash flow. So again, one that's overlooked, and at 140, about a 13 price earnings, but I think easily a 15-20% growth going forward. So not expensive in my book.
Yeah, and most importantly, when people can actually go out in mass. Outside, both in, you know, South Africa and Australia, they're going to benefit massively from, you know, that surge in foot traffic,
yeah.
Whether it's, you know, restaurants or wherever these POS are. Chantel, before we go to, you know, our stocks for the evening, quickly talk to us about Long for Life and that potential deal that's, you know, up in the air. So, as an investment, do you sell now and take your profits, or do you hold and see it through, or just hold because you wanted to buy it from the
get-go? Yeah, I'm holding my long for life. Thank you very much. I back Brian Duffy, firstly, but secondly, there are some really great companies in that portfolio. And I think that the potential unbundling of the sports and recreation business is going to probably unlock value. They took out Sportsman's Warehouse or Hold Sport back in the day at a very, very low multiple.
Yes.
And I think that it's that area of the market continues to do well, as we see in Mr. Price Sports numbers, for example. And I think Sportsman's Warehouse could relist probably at a slightly higher multiple with a few extra additions into that portfolio. It will also not carry the holding company discount that's attached to Long for Life at the moment. So I think a potentially really great value unlock for them. That said, I see that the discount has already started narrowing, which is really great news, and long may it last. As long as management continues to jiggle around with that portfolio and think about what they want to do going forward, I think you'll continue to see value being generated.
Okay, fantastic. Rikus, your stock pick for the evening?
Had it 2 months ago, but they've just about a week ago came out with the first quarter trading update. It's Motus, as you know, vehicle distributors, spare parts, and also car hire, expecting a 20% earnings growth, and the share pushing to new highs. So again, I think a target price of 120, 130 is not out of the question in the short term.
And for you, Chantal?
Yeah, mine's Mr. Price. I wish my Stockwatch appearance was yesterday, but mine's Mr. Price. They came out with really good results today, just kind of confirming our thinking around the stock at the moment. They've really changed from the beginning of last year, where they were actually becoming quite a boring company. I think the acquisition of Power Fashions, Yuppie Chef, the entry into baby, schoolwear, and beauty, all of these are new growth vectors for Mr. Price. So, really looking forward to see what they do with that. And it really doesn't look expensive currently, even after the run today. I think that from a price target perspective, we could look towards about 230, where it would have been great if you bought it yesterday at 188, but still a lot of value in that share.
Okay, thank you very much, Chantel and Rikus. So Rikus is going with Motus and Chantel is going with the retailer Mr. Price. Thanks to my guest Chantel Marx from FNB Wealth and Investment and Rikus Readers from PSG Wealth Santon. Stockwatch is back again on Monday. Have a good evening.